You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from hands of gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing.
The music's so good, I hesitate to speak. The highlight of the show, definitely the songs this evening. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander here in our flagship radio station tonight in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and certainly simulcasting online as well, where we are the seventh most listened to show in the country tonight. As we set this moment, let's go all the way to number one, folks. What do you say? If each one reaches one, as they say in church, double the audience, we would be number one. And I tell you, to be in the top 10 each week with our meager budget and with our, to say the least, politically incorrect programming is, it just goes to show, and it proves the point that I've always felt in my heart, that the vast majority of decent Americans, the red state, law-abiding, tax-paying Americans, they believe in what we believe in. Fundamentally, our voice is theirs and vice versa, and the proof is in the ratings. Number seven right now. Welcome back, Keith and James. I'm James, he's Keith. Keith's brought in a couple of newspaper articles here from our local fish wrap, but we're going to talk about Walmart in a moment. The first one, though, the title above the fold on the A section, I don't see the date here. It was this Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Accused embezzler found dead in Texas. He's a black gentleman. The remaining traces of Alfred Nehemiah Wright told a tale of panic, desperation, and horror along a lonely country road in East Texas. A shirt hanging from the bloody barbed wire fence, a black sock lying in an open field, a pair of pants nearby. When Wright, 28 years old, disappeared earlier this month in his native Texas, it came at the most peculiar of moments as he was awaiting trial in Memphis for misapplication of bank funds. A former employee of the Independent Bank in the Memphis suburbs, Wright disappeared on November 7th, a month before he was to stand trial in the United States District Court of Western Tennessee for allegedly embezzling about $6,000 in 2011 when he lived in the Hickory Hill area, which is a predominantly black area of Memphis, with his wife and family. I'm turning the page here, folks, so bear with me here. I have no idea what was going on down there, and I don't want to speculate about racial motives, but knowing the case and knowing Alfred, it wasn't in any way related to the case in Memphis, said his mother. What is clear is that Wright was working to better his life and raise three young sons before he went missing outside of Jasper, a town of about 7,500, 130 miles northeast of Houston, with a long history of racial tension and violence, they say. It was in Jasper in 1998, how could we forget, that three men, two of them white supremacists, so the story tells, dragged James Byrd, a 49-year-old African-American father of three, for miles behind a pickup truck, severing his head. All right, Keith, I read the story that you highlighted in the newspaper that you brought to the studio. Why did I do that?
Because this is another example of the typical racial slanders against white Gentiles that are paraded in front of the public in the guise of news stories. Where is there any substantiation for linking Alfred Nehemiah's death with a hate crime based on hatred of blacks by whites? There's none. There's no evidence that a white person had anything to do with his demise. Furthermore, there is nothing more than the fact, the slimmest pretext, that apparently some hate crime allegedly happened in Jasper, Texas in 1998, and apparently the spiritual bad karma still resides there and resulted in his death in 2013. This is hogwash. If you want to talk about racially motivated crime, how about the incredibly large numbers of white people who are attacked and killed by black people in America every year? Compare that with the minuscule numbers of black people killed by white people for racial reasons or otherwise in America every year. Look at the differential between black-on-white rapes, over 37,000 a year, over 100 a day. 100 a day would be 36,500. And compare that with the number of white-on-black rapes. Almost every year, U.S. Justice Department statistics show that it was less than 10, which means the actual number maybe and probably is zero, because less than 10 doesn't register on the U.S. Justice Department's database. Why do we endure this slim pickings of, you know, and nothing but rank speculation as front page news on the daily newspaper in Memphis, Tennessee? If that doesn't show you that the left is in charge of our news media, what does it take to convince you? This is the most, this is absolutely the most outrageous libel against my race that I can imagine. And unfortunately, it was penned by a white man, a guy named Mark Peruska. And this is nothing but a fevered imagining. This is what passes as news reporting in Memphis, Tennessee, and unfortunately in the entire nation today.
You know, and to be clear, Keith, any white person who goes out and kills a black man based upon the color of his skin deserves punishment to the fullest extent of the law, the death penalty. I have no qualms about that, but the thing is, that is such a rare occurrence that the media is so starved to find an example of that that they have to cast George Zimmerman as a white man and Trayvon Martin as the innocent teen who was only trying to beat Zimmerman to death with his fist when he received his eternal reward. But I don't have a problem with that. But the thing is, the knockout game is a very real thing. And the very same week that the media here in Memphis was so enamored to suggest that there could be a racial motive to the killing of this fellow, that they are dismissing the knockout game as some sort of a conspiracy or some sort of a made-up phenomenon, when it is exactly the opposite. You know, these are the murders, these race-based black-on-white crimes. You mentioned FBI statistics, Keith, over 37,000 per year black-on-white rapes versus less than 10 white-on-black. That's what needs to be talked about, not conjuring up the ghost of a racism that doesn't exist, and that's white-on-black racism. Equal rights for all, special privileges for none. Let the truth be told here on The Political Cesspool. We'll be back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks. But it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Talk about Thanksgiving, folks. I am so thankful for this time of year, at the risk of sounding repetitive. But, you know, I hope that I'm laying up crowns in heaven based upon my work here on earth, because I'm certainly not currying any favor with the powers that be here.
Not to mention money.
But listen, I've got things greater than that. I've got riches more valuable than that, and the audience that we share and the family that we've fostered here, not only with our own flesh and blood, Keith, our relatives, but those who tune in every week. Folks, you know, I hope it doesn't sound, you know, too folksy, if you will, but you know, we really do love y'all. You know, and this is why we do what we do, why we take the arrows that are the slings and arrows that are hurled our way, because this is something that is in our soul, it's in our bone, it's in our very DNA. We talked last week about the fact that 60% of one's political beliefs are passed along to you via your genetic payload. It's based upon your DNA and your genes, and I believe that. It's why I am so stirred by the spirit of Christmas. Why the hearing of Dixie elicits such a response in the very fibers of my skin and in my hair and in my heart. We're here for you, folks. So we're a mouthpiece. That's all we are. We're here to advocate on your behalf here in the court of public opinion, on mainstream media, and this program grows every week thanks to you and you alone. We're going to go to a listener in New York in just a moment, but first, Keith's going to wrap up the segment we were conducting there at the top of the second hour. Still much more to come tonight, though.
Let me say this as a parting shot on the Commercial Appeals article in this past Friday's Commercial Appeal, the headline, "Accused Embezzler Found Dead in Texas." Let me make a suggestion. This would be a real news story if they were willing to cover the matter and tell the truth for a change. It would be wonderful to try something different down at the Commercial Appeal and actually tell the truth, rather than speculating about a racial murder because this man happened to die in the same county where a racial murder occurred in 1998. That's the slimmest pickings that I could imagine. Let's talk about what is definitely uncontroverted. This fellow, Alfred Nehemiah Wright, is, according to this article, a former employee of Independent Bank in the Memphis suburbs. Wright disappeared on November the 7th, a month before he was to stand trial in the U.S. District Court for Western Tennessee for allegedly embezzling about $6,000 in 2011 when he lived in the Hickory Hill area with his wife and young family. Well, that's real hard news. He was charged. He was coming to trial. He embezzled from his employer. You could have a wonderful story about failed affirmative action hires made by large companies and how they continue to put the assets of their business and the success of their business in jeopardy following the false gods of political correctness, trying their best to deny human nature and reality and the truth that stands in front of them and, you know, bites them on the posterior every day. All of us have to pay for the $6,000 he stole. Something else, you know, it's either paid by the FDIC or they just charge it as another loss to the bank, which reduces the profitability of the bank and hurts the interest rates they want to pay us on our savings accounts or the dividends they pay on their stock to their stockholders. Why don't they report about that? Why do businesses and white Gentile elites continually insist upon telling the emperor that he has wonderful clothes rather than telling the emperor that he has no clothes? Why do they, like the ostrich, stick their head in the sand and think they can deny reality time and again by hiring people like Alfred Nehemiah Wright as employees when they're obviously unqualified and would not have been hired if, as Martin Luther King said, people were being judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character? Alfred Nehemiah Wright probably had a very flawed character. That's why he was embezzling money from his employer. But that is passed over. Apparently, some type of racial sins attributed to an entire county, or actually an entire race of people, under some type of fanciful interpretation of history, is much more important than real facts.
All right, thank you, Keith. No one's going to break down that story like Keith Alexander. I can tell you that right now, folks. Let's go to a listener in New York, one of our Copperhead friends, undoubtedly. Matt, how are you?
Hi, good evening, Cesspool family. How you doing? It's Matt the Copperhead.
Hey, we're doing great. Always great to celebrate holiday weekend with you.
Absolutely. We have much to be thankful for. And I trust Thanksgiving was well for yourself and Mr. Alexander and your families.
It certainly was for me. Keith, what about you?
Couldn't have been better.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, just wanted to bring up something that happened over here in New York City in Brooklyn the other day. There was actually a rally in East New York. And again, it just shows you the sleight of hand of the media because this rally is predominantly made up of African Americans. And seeing race through the spectrum of race that they do, themselves through the spectrum, they were saying they're the people that are having this knockout game perpetrated on themselves. So essentially, the victims, the vast majority of the victims in this area, the tri-state area, are white. And basically, we've been given our time. Sleight of hand has been, you know, it's all been twisted around. Basically, you've been handed a pair of breeches with a seat cut out.
Yeah, I tell you what, Matt, it's a crazy mixed-up world where things like the knockout game are swept under the rug while they try desperately to make a news story of white-on-black crime out of the death of an embezzler who's on the lam and winds up in Texas.
Absolutely.
Go figure. Well, Matt, thanks so much for giving us a call. You're our correspondent from New York City now. We're officially anointing you that because I asked Peter Scoop Stanton if everyone in New York City had gone temporarily or permanently insane, and he said, don't ask me. I'm from Washington, D.C. now. So I'll ask you the question. What in the world got into the people of New York City to elect this current mayor, De Blasio or whatever? It sounds like a fruitcake if there ever was one.
Many years of pathological altruism in the educational system and marginalization. You still will see within various groups, especially, myself, I'm a working-class white guy in New York City. And we keep feeling that we're being marginalized and isolated. I'm telling, my fellow.
Matt, you're right about that. That's a good assessment. Simplest answer is normally the correct one. You nailed why De Blasio was elected. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American-first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one-world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Oh yeah, oh, wanna be by my side. Oh yeah, oh, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everyone, where Christianity, you know, if you go to our statement of principles, our mission statement at thepoliticalcesspool.org, out of the 10 things that we say you can count on us to fight on its behalf, number one is the fact that Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, and that's number one in the statement of principles. This is a Christian program, and at Christmas time, we feel like we're just reveling in it all. It's a great time of year for us and for you, too, and we're thankful that you're part of our family. Keith has a story here on Walmart that we're going to cover. Raise your hand if you went to Black Friday. Keith's not raising his hand, but he's pointing at me. I will have to admit that I did go to a Black Friday and waited in line for over 2 hours to make it to the register after Thanksgiving feast. I do have a daughter. And we are on a budget, so you know, and my wife wanted to go, so it was a perfect storm. I think we saved, you know, at least 50 cents anyway for that two. It was the longest line. I could have ridden Space Mountain at Disney World, you know, 15 times in 2 hours. But anyway, you know, perfect storm. You save 50 cents. Your wife wants to go. What are you going to do? At least I got to talk to her for 2 hours in line.
Well, James, my only question is, why in the world did you bother to get in line to celebrate Black Friday? You live in Memphis, Tennessee, where every Friday is Black Friday.
Well, that's for sure, Keith. I didn't think about it. And Thursday and Wednesday. I didn't think of it quite like that, but touche, my friend. Anyway, we went to Target, not Walmart, but we do have a story here from Walmart. Walmart pay isn't unfair for unskilled, so reads the article that Keith has brought into us again from the local fish rep. Keith is a masochist. He reads the local fish rep. I don't but he doesn't buy it, though. He gets it for free. We won't ask why or how. It's often pointed out that Walmart manages to keep its prices so low, the experience so dismal. And by the way, I just got to interrupt myself right there. When I go into Walmart, I can't even see straight. Those fluorescent lights or something about it. It's eerie. It's often pointed out that Walmart manages to keep its prices so low, the experience so dismal, and the demeanor of its employees so poor by paying low wages. This is true. It's also suggested that these employees are, in fact, underpaid. That's not true at all, even though the average worker at Walmart makes $9 per hour. The underpaying of Walmart workers came up last week with a story about an Ohio location where bins had been set out with signs that read, "Please donate food items here so associates in need can enjoy Thanksgiving dinner." That's a delicious irony in the fact that every company I've worked for has collected food, clothing, and money to help employees in specific need, which Walmart says was the point of this collection, doesn't make it any less of an effective arrow for those who say Walmart abuses its workers. Adding heft to this accusation, a report released by the Democratic staff of the U.S. House Committee on Education and the Workforce estimated that Walmart employing 300 workers could cost taxpayers $900,000 annually, as some employees qualified for public assistance programs. These are great stats, convincingly employed. But there are two issues here, and they can't be dealt with as one. The first is that there's such a surplus of unskilled labor that it doesn't command enough pay to provide all workers need. These people aren't in any market sense being underpaid. If they were, they'd either be hired away by a better paying employer or stop showing up at Walmart altogether. But Walmart's not responsible for the societal feeling that everyone ought to have everything they need. Walmart is pursuing a business plan based on selling much to many at the lowest possible cost. If that's a bad business plan and treating workers that way and creating a shopping experience that cut rate is unacceptable to Americans, Walmart will fail. If it's a good business plan, Walmart will keep on keeping on, which is good news for the 1.4 million Americans that employ us who can't make more elsewhere, and the hundreds of millions of economically challenged folks who need the low prices that Walmart offers. Keith, I ask again the question. You brought that story in. You highlighted the paragraphs which you wanted me to read. Why did I bring that story? Why did I read that story to the audience? Why did you bring it into the studio?
Well, because, again, this is subtle left-wing propaganda, and it's based on economism, which is a particular perversion that a lot of conservatives have succumbed to. They're taking the position that it also has a comment in here about globalism that I think is very important to read. And here is what it says about globalism. Let me find this. It says, automatically, assuming the rate ultimately winds up in the high 20s and low 30s, but here's basically what it says rather than searching around for it. It says that global pressure and the global world means that we can no longer depend on everybody having a manufacturing job in America where it's easy for unskilled people to make a living wage and get a job with benefits like health insurance. Well, that's absolutely wrong. We could easily do that. We could do it by returning to the tried and true policies that our white governing class back in from the time of the founding of the Republic until later, all the way through the Hawley-Smoot tariff did, that they applied tariffs to foreign-made manufacturing to prevent them from undercutting our wages. Why don't they do that now? Well, they don't do it because, one, globalism is the end game of all liberalism. They don't think it's right for Americans, particularly the majority of Americans who are white, to live better and make more money than people in, say, Ecuador or Zambia or Zimbabwe or Laos or wherever you want to name. They want to equalize incomes throughout the world, and if you equalize incomes throughout the world, Americans have a heck of a long way to fall. They know it, and they don't intend to do anything about it. Our ruling elite in both the Republican and the Democratic Party are globalists. The Bushes are globalists. The Kennedys were globalists. All of our leaders in government are globalists. They don't advertise it. They don't tell you that they're violating the oath of office they take by supporting globalism and the United Nations and other global organizations rather than the Constitution of the United States, which would make them firmly patriotic nationalist Americans. They won't do that. They won't tell you, but basically they're traitors. But the problem with that brought about outsourcing and offshoring and make it impossible politically for people to reenact tariffs has to do with that old bugaboo that we keep bringing up, race. I'm fond of telling the story of Willie Rudd, a black Memphian who became the head of the United Furniture Makers and Luggage Makers Union here in the Memphis area back in around 1971. Now, when he became the president or the shop steward of the local union, all the rank and file, who were about 90% black, were jubilant because Willie had a reputation for being balls to the wall in all union negotiations. He didn't take a bit of guff from the man. He didn't have an inch of give in him. And his suzerainty, his leadership of this union, coincided very neatly with the founding or the initiative or the genesis of the EEOC office, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in Memphis, which was the enforcement arm of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. That's how you enforced the equality mandated in that law. Basically, working hand in glove with the local EEOC staff, Willie Rudd became the human relations department for all of these companies. And I'll finish up this story after a few words from our sponsors.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Shop in your underwear. Get prepared in your pajamas. Get food for camping from the comfort of your own bed. Whatever you do, get in on Freeze Dry Guy's Bean Blowout Sale. There's no better bargain on beans. Dehydrated small red chili beans, pinto beans, and baby lima beans. With a super long shelf life, these healthy beans are a big time score for emergency preparedness or outdoor activities. Bean blowout cases of 6 number 10 cans for just $97. Only $97 plus free shipping. No need to gas up and go. Shop online now at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-FOOD. This super sale runs now all the way through Cyber Monday, December 2nd, while supplies last. Freeze Dry Guys, beans, they're good for your heart. The more you buy now, the more you feel smart. On sale only at freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You open the floodgates. I hope I can make it through this.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder
You know, folks, if we're motivated by anything, it is by love, by faith, by hope and promise. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. That's what inspires us, those emotions. That's what inspires us to do the work and take the arrows. So glad to be here with you tonight, this November 30th, a couple of days past Thanksgiving 2011, Well, that would have been a couple of years ago, right? Where did that come from? 2013, rather. And still, thankfully, a few days, a couple of weeks out from Christmas. This is the best time of year. So happy to be with you tonight. Keith, before we go to a caller in Pennsylvania, I want you to have the time to wrap up your thoughts on the story from the previous segment. Remind folks what it is and what else you have to say.
Okay, this is a parable on globalism, and the parable is the story of Willie Rudd. Willie Rudd was the head of a local union. He was a black man. He was totally imbued with the spirit of the 60s. He was extremely confrontational, and he saw himself as a civil rights worker when he represented his majority black union constituency against the likes of a bunch of manufacturing employers in the Memphis area, like Trojan Luggage in Walls, Mississippi, and the Memphis Furniture Company in Memphis. When he took over this local union in 1971, it had well over 3,000 members. When the union folded finally, with Willie Rudd still at the helm like Captain Ahab on the Pequod in the old story Moby Dick, it was down to 33 members. What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. Racial politics combined with union politics proved to be a witch's brew that the employers simply could not live with. They could not allow Willie Rudd and the local chapter of the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the enforcement branch of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that sainted civil rights legislation we're all supposed to respect and hold in high regard. Well, they found they could not let Willie Rudd and the EEOC staff make every hiring, firing, promotion, and demotion decision for them and have a profitable company. Likewise, on the other side of the coin, political correctness even back then didn't allow them to come out and directly criticize the 64 Civil Rights Act and what it had wrought. Instead, these companies shuttered their plants, said they were going out of business. Then secretly, without telling anybody, they reopened down in the Maquiladora area of Mexico because they found that because of the combination of union activism and civil rights consciousness among black employees, there was no way to make money in a typical manufacturing setting here in Memphis, Tennessee, back in the 70s. So, once they got down there, they found out that there was a lot more good about going to Mexico or going outside the United States than just getting out from under the baleful control of the EEOC. They found out that not only did Mexico not have an EEOC, they did not have an EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. They didn't have OSHA, Occupational Safety, Health, and Agency. They didn't have, they had a more compliant workforce that would work for less money. So consequently, the race was on to offshore your manufacturing facilities. That's where the manufacturing base of America went. And they were somewhat driven out by the civil rights laws of the 60s that had started to gain traction in the early 70s, coinciding with Willie Rudd. Now, that's what the real story is. We could have tariffs, but in an interracial or a multiracial nation, it's much more difficult, particularly when you have people that somehow think they're being righteous by holding up the employers. So we've lost those manufacturing jobs that pay twice as much as service sector jobs, even without unions, and had employee benefits. And as a result, a lot of people in America are now being denied a middle-class income and a middle-class lifestyle who would have had it a couple of generations ago, but for left-wing activism. That's the truth of the matter, and that's the truth you'll never hear spoken anywhere except on the political cesspool.
Keith, thank you for that. Thank you for letting the truth be told here on our airwaves this Saturday night, as it is every Saturday night since 2004. Folks, 10 years in this business, in this political climate, are you kidding me? Proves our point. People are with us. We have the friends we want and the enemies we want. We couldn't be happier. And let's go to one of those friends right now, Joe in Pennsylvania. Where are all the Southerners tonight listening to the political cesspool? Joe in Pennsylvania, what can we do for you, my friend?
Yes, James and Keith, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
I hope you guys are prosperous this year and as in the next one, of course.
And back at you.
Regarding the your talk, of course, minimum wage is a farce. It only holds down the people who have high aspirations. The jobs that have minimum wage were basically, back when I was a kid, they were what they call entry level. And what that meant was when you got out of high school, you got a job for $3 an hour. And you worked your tail off and you proved yourself to your employer.
Well, I had those jobs. I'm sure you did too, Joe. I remember I got $1.20 an hour when I started working.
Why, sure. I've worked for jobs for $2 an hour. I've worked for jobs for nothing. I just said, hey, you need that done? I'll do it for you if you give me this, that, or the other thing, such as firewood and et cetera. But getting back to the Walmart deal, there really are no Walmarts near me. You have to travel a great deal to get to one. But we have something of equal, of equality, which is the Tractor Supply. And I remember one day going in there. I had to pick up something or other. And I glanced over into the cages where they kept all the building supplies. And there was a guy out in the back behind the cage where they kept all the building supplies. And he was taking these brooms, these push brooms, and snapping them, taking them and swinging them into a dumpster and breaking them in half. And he was sitting there just doing that. And they were paying him what amounted to higher than a minimum wage for just standing there all afternoon and breaking all of these push brooms into a dumpster. And evidently they couldn't sell them, or they were inferior or something, they couldn't get the price. So they hired this guy to stand there and destroy their stock. I just thought I'd bring that up to you.
You know, in a larger sense, Joe, that's what our elites in America, our white Gentile elites, are doing to our entire economy by insisting upon holding on to the view that white workers and black workers are interchangeable parts, that they're all the same, that there's no difference. And furthermore, by giving preference to hiring black workers over white workers. That you see how that worked out for Independent Bank in the story that we covered earlier in the hour regarding Alfred Nehemiah Wright. You have a great uptick in embezzlement and theft on the job charges when you hire these people, but nobody ever draws a common sense conclusion that, gee, maybe this affirmative action experiment isn't such a good idea after all. Maybe we need to abandon it. They won't go back to the old ways. They won't tell the truth. In fact, the left is the establishment of modern day America to such an extent that employers that want to be efficient and productive feel compelled to move their manufacturing facilities overseas, depriving Americans of much-needed middle-class manufacturing sector jobs because of their devotion to political correctness. We're going to talk more about this and other topics of current interest after these words from our sponsor.
And Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.